Welcome back to our show talking about true crime. This is your host Olivia and
your co-host Michelle.
In today's episode, we will be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, who was an American serial killer and cannibal. We will be covering his life and crime. This is episode 5. If you want to hear more about him, then please listen to our episode about him. We hope you are as interested in learning about Jeffrey as we are. Who is Jeffrey Dahmer and what crimes did he commit? Find out in this episode of Talking About True Crime. Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, there will be things mentioned that are triggers for some people. In this episode, there will also be animal abuse mentioned. Proceed with caution. Not recommended for people under the age of 13. Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer was born on May 21, 1960 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His parents' names were Lionel Dahmer and Joyce Flint. He also had a younger brother named David. His home was a dysfunctional home. His parents had a toxic relationship. The neighbors would call the police to break up the Dahmer's fights. Jeffrey would witness the physical and verbal abuse between his parents. In 1978, his parents had a bitter divorce. They charged each other with extreme cruelty and gross neglect of duty. Jeffrey's parents neglected him most of his life. His parents were distracted with their challenges with their relationship and their own mental health. They gave little attention to him on his disturbing obsessions. The abuse and neglect that Jeffrey endured and the impact of his traumas increased the risk of his mental health disorders. His father was a chemist. His father's job required the family to move a lot. Jeffrey had experienced numerous traumas in his childhood. When he was 8, a neighbor was molesting him, his father had said. All this may have had a factor in shaping him into becoming a serial killer. He showed little interest in hobbies or social interactions in his teenage years. His mother, Joyce Dahmer, was struggling with mental health throughout her life. She suffered from postpartum psychosis after she had David. Jeffrey had an obsession with finding roadkill, bringing it home and cutting it up to see what was inside. He started experiencing sexual pleasure from seeing the brains of those dead animals. His personality changed so much that he became an introvert. But he did work in his school's newspaper and played tennis. Those around him considered him weird. His parents got divorced, his mother won custody of David, and Jeffrey, who was 18 at the time, was left in the house alone with no food, money, and a broke refrigerator. He attended college but dropped out due to his drinking. His father forced him to enlist in the army, where he served as a combat medic in Germany from 1979 to 1981. But his drinking caused him to be discharged. He told authorities later that this was when he killed someone. The person he killed was a guy who was hitchhiking to a rock concert. His name was Stephen Hicks, and he was 18. He picked him up, took him home, and had intercourse with him, and then hit him with a barbell and strangled him when Stephen wanted to leave. He stored Stephen's body under the crawl space under his house after cutting it into pieces and putting them in plastic bags. On June 18, 1978, Stephen was last seen but was not found until Jeffrey confessed to killing Stephen in 1991. Stephen's father said he was a deeply caring person. On November 24, 1987, Stephen Tuomi, who was 24, was killed by Dahmer. He was a cook at a restaurant in Milwaukee where he grew up. He was said to have been creative and quiet. Jamie Doxetater was 14 when Jeffrey murdered him on January 16, 1988. He was Jeffrey's third victim. He ran away from home due to an abusive stepfather. Jamie's mother described him as misunderstood, but he had a lot of love and that she loved him. On March 24th of 1988, Richard Giraro, sorry if I mispronounced that, everyone, was 25 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. He was of a Mexican descent and had a tight-knit family. He often babysat his sister's 2-year-old daughter. On March 1989, Anthony Spears was 26 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. When he had enough money, he planned to get married to his girlfriend. Sometime in 1989, he came out as gay after being convicted of sexual assault and enticing a minor for immoral purposes. On May 20th, 1990, Raymond Smith, aka Ricky Beeks, 28, was murdered by Dahmer. He had a 10-year-old daughter. On June of 1990, Edward W. Smith was 28 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. He was hoping to be a professional model. On September of 1990, Ernest Miller was 22 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. He went to college in Chicago to become a professional dancer, and he was a talented dancer. When he was younger, he would sing and perform when he was at his church. On September 24th, 1990, David C. Thomas was 23 when he was murdered by Dahmer. He had a 2-year-old daughter. On February 18th, 1991, Curtis Strotter was 18 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. He was a nursing assistant and planned to get a high school equivalency certificate to attend modeling school. On April 7th, 1991, Errol Lindsay was 19 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. Rita Isbell took the stand to discuss her brother. In her statement, she screamed and charged at Jeffrey, calling him a Satan. She later said that wasn't planned and shared that he had a daughter and granddaughter who was alive today. On May 24th, 1991, Anthony Tony Hughes was 31 when he was murdered by Dahmer. He was a deaf-mute black man. His mother described him as outgoing, jolly, happy person. He had a skill for making friends. On May 27th, 1991, Konrak Synthesophone, I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, everyone, was 14, a high school freshman when he was murdered. At the time of his death, Dahmer still was on probation for molesting Konrak's brother. He escaped Jeffrey's apartment and neighbors called the police. Jeffrey had drugged him. Jeffrey convinced police that Konrak was 19 and that he was his boyfriend, so police returned Konrak to Jeffrey's apartment and left. After they left, Jeffrey killed Konrak by injecting hydrochloric acid in a hole he had drilled into his brain. On June 30th, 1991, Matt Turner was 20 when he was murdered by Jeffrey. He lived in a halfway house before his death. He was basically a good kid and bright and articulate. On July 5th, 1991, Jeremiah Weinberger was 23 when he was murdered by Dahmer. He worked as a rep at a video store and he was born in Puerto Rico. He loved art and was very meticulous. He dressed nice and always worried about what he wore and how he looked. On July 15th, 1991, Oliver Lacey was 23 when he was murdered by Dahmer. He was engaged to be married at the time of his death and had a 2-year-old child. On July 19th, 1991, Joseph Bradhoft was 25 when he was murdered by Dahmer. He left behind a wife and 3 children. On July 22nd, 1991, Tracy Edwards was his would-be victim. He was able to escape from Dahmer's clutches. Just 3 days after Dahmer had killed Joseph, Tracy showed the police where Dahmer's apartment was and found evidence of his other murders and arrested him. Jeffrey would lure his victims by promising money or sex. He drugged them and before or after they fell unconscious, have intercourse with his victims. Some he had sex with after killing them and dissected them, keeping some parts of his victims and eating others. Jeffrey would take pictures of his victims in various states after he killed them. His trial started January 30th, 1992. Him keeping photographs of his victims in the murder scene would prove he had schizotypal personality disorder. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that word. Even though he showed signs of a psychotic disorder, the jury didn't pity him and they declared him sane and sentenced him to 15 years of life imprisonment for a total of 957 years. He received an additional life sentence for the murder of Stephen Hicks. Jeffrey was sent to Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, Wisconsin to serve his time. On November 28, 1994, Jeffrey was killed by Christopher Scarver, who beat him to death. Christopher said he did it because he grew to despise Jeffrey because he would make severed limbs out of prison food to taunt other inmates. He would drizzle ketchup on it to resemble blood. He crossed the line with some prisoners and staff. Some people in prison are repentant, but he was not one of them, Christopher said. Okay, Mom, so what do you think about all that?
I'm speechless. He killed a lot of people.
17 people. 17 men, actually.
That's a lot of young people. I'm still astonished at what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of Jeffrey, but I didn't go into his crimes or anything because I think...
Not extensively, anyways.
Yeah, and I was a little young at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I was forbidden to watch that kind of stuff at that age. I didn't realize how morbid he was and lured his potential victims to his house.
Mm-hmm. With the promise of money.
Yeah.
Or sex.
Or something.
Or, yeah.
He's just absolutely gross.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a necrophiliac. Do you know how fucking gross that is? That's some puke-worthy shit right there.
There you go with the puke-worthy shit again. That's going to become your trademark. But yes, he was definitely morbid, gross. I also heard he was very intelligent.
Yeah, well, if his parents wouldn't have been fighting, they could have focused on him. I mean, they all ended up avoiding him after the fact, so...
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect? If your kid is showing signs of this, and you're not paying attention because of your own fights and shit... What the hell do you think is going to happen?
I was just about to say that.
I mean, he could have got directed to the right way of handling his curiosity about things. But the thing is, he was aroused by looking at the brains of dead animals. Now, what the fuck kind of sick fuck does that?
I'm speechless. I'm not even sure what to say about that. That is just way out of my comprehension, I guess. I don't know. It's gross.
Yeah, I know. Like, I wish I knew somebody who could answer that. Like, I want to know. No, I want to know about why somebody would get aroused by something dead. I mean... In general, necrophiliacs, how can you get aroused by a dead person? Like, or dead animals? Like, what the fuck is wrong with your brain in order to have that happen?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Disgusting, man.
That I can't answer that one because picture seeing him do that. I just don't see it. I just... think of how he can do that. I really don't know. He had to have some sort of sick way of doing that, of getting himself aroused.
Well, I can't believe how his family all turned their back on him. Like, I understand where they're coming from, because that's just disgusting what he was into. But the thing that they should have done was get him some freaking help. Like, he needed some major help. He should have been locked up before he even killed somebody.
The first step is the parents that needs to notice what he's doing, and mm-hmm. they just shrugged it off like, oh, it's normal,
yeah.
when it's not.
Well, they didn't do that, but they didn't notice at all that their son was into this kind of stuff. Because
they just overlooked it.
No, they just didn't pay attention to him enough. I don't think they loved him. Especially the fact of taking his brother and just up and leaving him in the house all by himself with no food, no money, and a broken fucking refrigerator.
He like, was the damaged one.
Okay, but still.
Very damaged.
How he grew up, the traumas in his life, had a factor in all making him the way he was. Some of that blame is on the parents and whoever else did wrong to him as well. Like that neighbor that was molesting him at 8. I'm just disgusted with this guy. And he didn't feel no remorse for what he did either.
There's a lot of them like that just don't feel like they have to apologize. I would want an apology.
Yeah, I would want to be around him because of the fact of how sick he was. And then to target men, you know, because he's gay. That's just... fucked up.
You should have saw what they were carrying out of his house.
Yeah.
Those big barrels.
Screw that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think it's messed up. I'm sorry about not really having a whole lot. We were trying to determine what was important and what was not. And there was a lot of info to sift through. Like, a lot. We hope that we did an alright job with this. And that you're satisfied with what you hear. If you want another episode on him, finding more information or whatever, we could give it a whirl. But it was a major headache looking through all this stuff to find...
Sifting.
Yeah, sifting. Like, it was a major headache to do that. Like, we spent hours on it today. Like, it was a lot. Like, way more hours than we usually do. So, yeah. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm done discussing this guy.
Yeah, he's very, very sick. What did you all think about Jeffrey Dahmer? And you can let us know at our email, talkingabouttruecrime3051@gmail.com. This has been your host, Olivia, and
co-host, Michelle,
on our podcast, Talking About True Crime. What we covered in this episode is the life and crimes of Jeffrey Dahmer, how he grew up and him killing, having intercourse with his victims, dead or alive, and dismembering them and keeping photographs of his victims in different stages of the killing and the murder scenes, and eating some of his victims as well as keeping parts of his victims' bodies. Please spread the word to your family and friends if you liked what we did here and if you think they would as well. If you hear anything that we need to work on, please email us at the email I mentioned earlier. We are open to suggestions on how to improve. We are very happy to announce that we have a website now. It is www.talking-about-true-crime.com. I will also put it in the description as well. There you can find out ways to follow us on social media, how to contact us, and such. We will be updating the site when new things come up, so check back frequently. So please check out our site. Please hit the follow button if you like our content and want to hear more from us. In the next episode, we will cover Ted Bundy, who was an American serial killer. It was another request from my friend Dennis Craig. As I stated before, we take requests on who you want us to cover. If you want to do that, please email us or leave a comment on our website on who you want us to cover and why, as well as your name. We will be finding out Ted Bundy's life and crimes in the next episode, so we hope you will be back to listen. If you are hearing this message, you've listened to another entire episode, and we really want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Talking About True Crime. If you did, please leave us a review on Spotify, as it will help us get noticed.
Thank you!